Glory to God forever and ever. Jesus the Christ is alive. This is a short message in the series about the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, once again, we welcome you and we're so grateful to be yours. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to the earth, dying for us, suffering so much, and now all that you've done and are doing in our lives, praying for us, interceding for us, giving and blessing and saving. Amen. So thank you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I believe with those listening and I for their needs and that you will reveal your glory to them. Bless them today. Give them all your wonderful qualities, your joy, happiness, faith, hope, and infinitely more, and most of all, your presence and glory. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. This is the second podcast of the day. The first one was an evangelistic message. This one I want to speak about the person of the Holy Spirit and the glory of the Lord. Here's the first thing. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is. A great man of God said he's Jesus unlimited. And his presence and glory is how we walk with him and know him. If we don't know, if we have not been born of the Spirit, it's very simple. Jesus said that someone who's born again can see the kingdom. But when someone's born of the Spirit, they enter the kingdom. And so the kingdom of God of heaven is this. It will take all eternity for the kingdom to be revealed. I do believe that this his presence and glory, which some people call the anointing, but it's the presence of Jesus, reveals so much about the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ, and there's just so much about that, like the, as I said before, the truth that man was born to fellowship with him, that reveals that God, so much about his love, about his giving nature, that he's a person, that it's a relationship. Amen. It's this glorious relationship. That's the key. I know that sounds simple. The Holy Spirit can reveal that. That it's not about anything else. It's not about ministry, which is wonderful. Ministry is great. It's not about the Bible, the Word of God. We revere God's holy Word. But it's a relationship. It's that face-to-face encounter with the living Jesus Christ, who, and again, the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. This is why God set up the perfect plan, is that every person can now fully know Jesus Christ. I mean, that is just, I mean, that right there, again, reveals so much about God's nature. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit and Jesus, we could literally substitute the Father God Almighty. I mean, that therein is another mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God. The Father God Almighty, he has revealed himself through his Son. In other words, like a great man of God talks about, said that the Trinity, the Father God is the decision maker, Jesus Christ is the doer, and the Holy Spirit manifests it, what they do. Amen. And all at the same time. God Almighty, the only true God, this glorious God Almighty that we should just fear and have reverence for, and just, he's so powerful. Billy Graham said, you know, he's so powerful, he created humans. He could not come down as a human being. So he sent his son as a man. And now he sends his son through the Holy Spirit. Everything, I said this before, but it's a glorious truth that everything about Jesus Christ reveals the Father God Almighty. Everything. Everything he does, everything he says, everything that he's doing today. And so when that list of all these wonderful things Jesus does, and that's not, I mean, there's more, so much more. That's not a full, complete list. He loves, saves, heals. He gives, he blesses. He gives in so many ways. Like, he gives himself. He gives his glory to someone. He gives fellowship. He gives himself if somebody seeks him. And if they prove themselves worthy, that's a whole nother subject. He gives in so many ways. Jesus said, I give them eternal life. He gives joy, peace, happiness. Okay, and this reveals God's giving nature. Is that, again, all these things Jesus is doing, the Father God is literally doing them. Now, let me shift gears. This is something I thought of. I want to just mention this. We are here for you, our ministry, to serve, to help, okay? Now, what does that mean? Here's an example, and it has nothing to do, it's all about Jesus Christ. Okay, but this is just an example. In presenting the presence of Jesus, okay, and anyone in the world who is proclaiming Jesus Christ, this same thing applies. They are basically, I'll try to sum this up. What they are, in a sense, offering to people, you know, presenting to people, let's sum it up as the gospel, okay? Jesus, the presence of Jesus, offering and providing something that is the absolute most valuable entity in the universe, and outside of it, there is nothing. So here's the summary. And what I'm about to say, many people would disagree with it. They would doubt it and have a lot of negative reactions towards it, right? But here it is. Someone who's proclaiming the gospel is essentially giving to someone something that is priceless, and it's worth more than everything in the world. And I'm speaking of all the money, all the wealth, all of the riches, all the material things, everything on the earth, okay? Add it all up, including all of the precious minerals and stones that are in the earth, gold, silver, diamonds. Add all of that up and multiply it times infinity. The gospel is worth more than all of that I just said, multiplied times infinity. And the heart of the gospel is the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, the glory of God. And what I just said is an understatement, because outside of the gospel, outside of Jesus Christ, there's nothing. And someone has nothing, someone can do nothing. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And they're spiritually dead. Even though on the earth, God is so good that they live for 20 or 30 or 80 or 100 years, and they have their life and their soul and their body, which God gave them all of that. He gives them everything that keeps them alive. He gives them every good thing that they've ever had. He's given them their soul, which is eternal and priceless, made in His image. And He's done that same thing for every person that they rely on. In fact, He's done it for every person in the world. My point is, while our ministry, I don't ever want to promote our ministry or anything. I barely give my name. I intentionally don't promote my ministry or myself. But, and this applies to, let me just say it this way, anyone, I want to repeat that, anyone who's presenting the gospel and all the various things about it, the incredible things about it, is giving to people priceless, things that are priceless. And so that's an example of how we are here for you and to serve you and to help you. We want, but, and again, there's something about the presence of Jesus. It is, a man of God said, it is caught, you know, and, you know, he said, I cannot give you the anointing. Someone can, what he's saying is, we can proclaim it, we can teach about it, speak about it, we can minister, we can do everything, but it is up to a person. And it's simple. It's up to a person what they do with it. Same thing with salvation. Same thing with the second phase, being born of the Spirit. It's up to a person if they do that. God's not going to make them do anything. It's up to a person if they go into the third phase, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth phase, the anointing. Have you noticed that? I mean, if you haven't, well, it's a fact. You can present things to people. We have no impact on them, right? It's totally up to them. Totally up to them. I mean, especially the gospel, but really anything. I mean, and I've seen that in people that I know. You know, you can tell them. I've told people that are special to me about these serious things, and they just ignore it. They don't even respond, and they go back to what they're doing. You know, and that's the tragedy. There's a real tragedy. And we see this. I know I've mentioned this before, but it's so important to understand. And it can help us in ministry. Jesus explained, you know, he said, I don't want to go into that, but we should realize, I said it before, but it's important to understand, most people don't get saved. Most believers do not go deeper into the, they're born again, which is great, but they don't go into the subsequent phases. They even criticize often those people who do. I'm not even speaking about unbelievers, 70% of the world who are have no interest at all in the gospel, okay? It's a tragedy. What a tragedy. And to think of how we are missing out. That's the thing. We miss it. We miss out if we do not just simply do what Jesus said to do. Love the Lord our God with everything we have. Seek Him with all our heart. Okay, make Him our first love. Give Him first place. There's unlimited potential. And the secret and the key is that relationship when we experience His presence. And then that's when the wonderful things, just so glorious, is so glorious. To think that, and then that's what I want to encourage you. That's all that matters, is that relationship. Every person can do that. Right here, today, any person in the world can develop and cultivate that relationship. They don't have to have some ministry and have finances and have a church. One person with God, and let's go back to salvation. That's salvation. One person, going straight to him. That's, if somebody does not do that, they're not really saved. So what I'm saying is not like earth-shattering, you know, it's, but that's the key. That to me, that's so encouraging. I mentioned this the other day and recently. It's so wonderful to learn from patriarchs of the faith, like Reinhard Bonnke and others, who it was all about the presence of Jesus and about his relationship with him, you know, and not about, and Kenneth Hagin even is an even better example of that. He's not as well known as Bonnke, but Kenneth Hagin, he just walked with Jesus Christ. He did not, in other words, he was not out promoting a ministry or himself. He just walked with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the one who gets the results. Amen. The man who wrote 23 Minutes in Hell said something similar. I believe he did say that when he published that book, he didn't do any promote it or anything, but it just went to all the people that the Holy Spirit wanted it to go to. A lot, you know, a great result. So, analogy I gave is an understatement. The glory of God, the presence of Jesus, is worth more than everything in the earth multiplied times infinity. In fact, everything in the earth multiplied times infinity is nothing compared to the glory of God. A famous thing that Paul wrote, remember he said, I count all things a loss, and I count things, all those things, basically the summary of what he wrote was, now that I've found the Jesus and the presence of Jesus and the glory of God, this is a paraphrase. He said, I count all things, everything else is a loss and is rubbish and is, but what he's really saying is the analogy that I'm giving, I think, is the same type of analogy. Without the Holy Spirit, remember, we think, oh, well, I've got to give these things up, and I've got to count these things as a loss, and I've got to sacrifice, and I've got to, it's going to be so hard, and I've got to give up everything I have, and I've got and this is what religion says to do, right? It's like, I've got to do all these do's and don'ts and beat myself up, and, you know, and it's going to, you know, I've got to, that's altogether wrong. That's not the, I believe the true gospel, well, knowing him, the greatest privilege for a human being, experiencing his presence and glory, I mean, everything else just disappears. It's more, it's like those things, anything else that we were quote unquote in love with, disappears. And again, is how shall I say this? The summary is, when we experience his presence and glory, we will understand everything in our most holy faith. Everything works. The anointing solves everything. And his presence and glory on that 1 to 10 scale is infinity. And those other things, yes, God wants us to have. He takes all those other things that were our first love, that are things that he provides, and puts them in their right place. But they are, like, on the 1 to 10 scale, are a 10. They're great things, but they are nothing compared to the presence of Jesus and the glory of God. And this is, okay, an example related to this. Remember when Jesus said, anyone who comes to me and does not hate his father mother, brother, sister, wife, okay, and even his own life is not worthy of me? What is he saying there? He, of course, is not saying to hate them. He's saying our love for him must be so great that our love for our family and looks like hate. So in other words, like, you see how he gives these comparisons? I love these comparisons that Jesus presents. You know, his parables, his analogies, he spoke in parables, in allegories, and other ways, and it gives these, like, it's just so wonderful to read how he presents, like he said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Here's an example of the benefits. If anyone doubts that God wants to bless us and prosper us in every way, Jesus said, anyone who has left houses or brothers or sister, this is not the exact quote, but he said, anyone who has left father or mother or wife or houses for my sake shall not fail to receive 100-fold in this life and the life to come, eternal life. 100-fold is the exponential return that cannot be measured. Amen. The 30, 60, 100-fold in the foundational parable, so there was 30 and then 60, those are great. But then there's the 100-fold. That's exponential. And every person who makes it to heaven will be in that exponential, supernatural, exponential prosperity in every way because of the presence of Jesus, the glory of God. I mean, it's just so awesome the way he presents. You know, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Treasure. It's never ending. I want to just proclaim this and let us realize how wonderful this is. And that analogy that I gave, it's like anything outside of Jesus, when we find the presence of Jesus, anything outside of it is just nothing and just disappears. Just like, okay, but again, he wants us to have, he offers a celebration. He wants us to have, he gives eternal purpose and in ministry, for example. Someone doesn't have to be in Christian ministry, but he gives someone eternal purpose, eternal hope. He wants us to have great relationships and harmony in our families. Amen. He says, God said, be fruitful, multiply. You know, he wants us to have happiness, joy, peace, hope, faith, on and on. The wonderful, taste and see that the Lord is good in every way. So those things flow. You know, when someone knows Jesus Christ and if they experience his presence, even better, okay, that's the greatest thing. But all these good things, they are put in their right place and they are infinitely better than if somebody does not know Jesus Christ. Again, God gives all these things to those who are, even to the unbelievers. He's kind to the unthankful and evil, Jesus said. I at least want to touch on this, and I'm going to put this hopefully in the notes. But I want to state the positive first, I know I keep emphasizing this, but the answer, the key, the answer is the presence of Jesus in that relationship. And the Holy Spirit reveals all of this to someone. So wonderful. Now, what's disappointing is that we as humans, as we know, we miss it. Some of us completely, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But we have in our background, training, environment, so much conditioning, okay, related to, and a lot of it is the dead religion and our own preconceived notions, which are wrong, okay. A great man of God said, he told God, turn me upside down, shake everything out of me, turn me right side up and fill me with what you want me to be filled with, okay. And our ministry has put together this 3-page summary of the misconceptions. I have touched on this before, but it is just so disappointing and sad that, you know, here's just a few examples. You know, like we think that it's, you know, this whole thing of religion and rules and we think it's burdensome and that there's, you know, boring and that it's going to be difficult. All that's totally wrong. Okay. I'll just let this summary stand. The presence of Jesus solves it all. Solves it all. The glory of God. And I see this. I go to church, people are acting spiritual. You know, they're trying. At least they're trying. But we ourselves think, whoa, I've got to just, you know. And now there is a point. We do need to shape up, repent, get right, you know, do the right thing. Absolutely. Okay, this is a covenant. This is a relationship with God. We take those first steps. We repent. We live a repentant life. But it's, we have been conditioned to think that we have to really do and lie, get everything right and all this. But it's really about the presence of Jesus. Seeking Him, when we find Him, that's when He empowers us, and that solves everything. That solves everything. Even if we're trying to do things on our own, that doesn't count. That's the flesh. Same thing in ministry. Now, if someone's in ministry, if we're just doing it on our own, that's the flesh and it's rejected. It just is. I mean, but the anointing, that's what God receives, and that's how we do the works of God. Now, I said this before. If someone does not actually have the anointing, it would be better for them to just go ahead and just do ministry. Do what God, someone feels like God is telling them to do. Absolutely. Better to do that than not. But the whole answer is the relationship. Seeking Him, cultivating that, developing that relationship. What a glorious opportunity. Every day, all the time, we can be doing that. And so I wanted to encourage you. Thanks for listening. Blessings, and please email us at hello@wonderreality.org. Blessings.